Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real life moments. Maurices.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Welcome to another round of the best of SDHAM here on the Off the Woodwork podcast section at 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. John Nelson here with you. And for those that may not know, Monday through Friday, across the soccer down here, the SDH Network on SDH YouTube, on SDHX, and on Twitch, and then posted later to our podcast channels, we have a morning show that kind of gets you set up for your day. And we have guests and pundits and storylines and news and transfers and all the stuff that happens overnight. We get you caught up. We get you ready for your day. And we do it Monday through Friday on the SDH Network. And we're blessed to kind of give you a look at the week that was here every single time out when it comes to SDHAM here at 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app, and the Off the Woodwork podcast section. So what we're going to do this week is we're going to talk Major League Soccer. We're going to catch up with someone very, very important and tied into the League's Cup tournament that has just gotten out of Phase 1. Going to catch up with one of the voices of Apple TV and find out what his thoughts are about said Phase 1 and about the matchups coming up in Major League Soccer this weekend. And then we're going to catch up with an Atlanta United legend, Michael Parkhurst, and what it's like for him and for Greg Garza to continue to build beyond goals mentoring as they get ready for another season of it. Kids heading off to school inside their families, and so now it's time to kind of get squared away for the 25-26 season for beyond goals mentoring. We catch up with Cap coming up in just a little bit. But first and foremost, what we're going to do, we're going to take you into League's Cup and find out what it has been like for the new man in charge of the tournament. Growing pains and all the points in between, successes, things to look at going forward. SDHAM fortunate enough to catch up with the executive director of the League's Cup, Tom Mayo, and find out what his thoughts are on the tournament in 25 to date. All right, hot tag. And this is where we get to try and chase after one of the busiest men in show business. And I mean this because Phase one, and it took me a while to figure out that it is phase one. It wasn't necessarily group stage. It's phase one. Phase one is done. Now we're getting into quarters and semis and working through and juggling that and the MLS schedule. And for that, we go and catch up with the executive director of League's Cup, Tom Mayo. Tom Mayo on the keyboards. Tom Mayo. Sorry, it was my Peter Frampton joke this morning, Tom.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Welcome aboard to the morning show and the chaos that is a Friday. Glad that we were able to finally catch up with you to find out everything about Leagues Cup.
Thank you. Apologies about the earlier bump. We were in the process. Lots goes on, right? And we've got a considerable amount of games in this very condensed window. So it's great. Look, thank you for appreciate being on the show. It's great. Talk to your listeners and explain a little bit more about Leagues Cup.
What attracted you to become the executive director of Leagues Cup in the first place?
Lots of aspects. Great teams to work with. I met both the Liga MX and MLS teams, and their front of office, great teams to work with, right? And they've got some bold plans. I think secondly was how often is a soccer tournament in its infancy like this, in its year three, and it's got so much future ahead of it. That's incredibly rare. There might be one or two added to the global soccer calendar every year, but that was it. And I think, opportunity to work with great people. This new soccer venture that was building had some history and was looking for someone to jump in and, sort of guide it for the next 5-10 years.
And if I remember your past correctly, you're a track and field guy.
Yeah.
So I would imagine to carry out an early analogy here in the interview, were you a sprint guy or a distance guy?
Middle distance, so a mile.
Okay, so you know about strategy in a race, whether you need to be the rabbit, whether you like to hang off the outside shoulder of somebody while they're in the inside lane and then make your move, last lap, bell lap, backstretch, whatever. I would imagine that kind of a mentality also helps when you're trying to piece together this tournament and all of the tweaks that are in this year where the schedule is more compressed. You don't have the gap space between the end of phase one and getting back to MLS scheduling. I would imagine that part of that mentality helps in trying to figure out, okay, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. So that way, when we get to the bell lap in 25, everything is fine and we make the sprint to the tape and it is what it is.
Exactly right. There is that ability to sort of maneuver quickly in the environment that you're in and stay calm in it. I mean, the fact of running a mile or 1500 meters, it's the ability to stay calm under pressure. And the calmer you are, for the longer you are, the more you can sustain and think clearly and cross the line. But there's one aspect of the mile, and it took me 8 years to break 4 for a mile. It just took 8 years of hard work. And it's just unrelenting hard work to do that. And you only see the end and it's the race. But, and I think that's the team around me and myself is we've dug in for the long run. This is going to be really hard. And so sort of I've got the same mindset. Look, this is going to take 8 to 10 years to keep applying pressure every day, keep building the tournament. And that's how you end up with those great races, because it's just hard work every day. So that's sort of my mentality going into it. It's delightful when you get to the end of the 8 years and you break the 4 minute mile, but it is just that focus every single day. You just keep going and going. So both skills.
How difficult is it to show patience or have other individuals around you be as patient as you and your group are? Because there's always that idea of instant results, instant gratification. Hey, we got a tournament on. Hey, it's new. Hey, it's shiny. We've got we have to have all the fireworks exploding, like the end of the Abu Dhabi, F1 race or something. How difficult is it for folks around you to be patient, understanding that slow and steady wins the race?
It is difficult sometimes. And I think everybody wants, there's no magic wand. And I learned that pretty quickly across all the sports I've been involved with. Sometimes you're blessed with moments like Messi with his comments last week or 2 weeks ago. And that suddenly gives you a bump. But I think incremental, every single day you're making incremental step forwards, you're making incremental changes. And the stakeholders and all the partners you're with, whether it's Liga MX, MLS, CONCACAF, sponsors, everyone, they're seeing these incremental changes and just building on the tournament, building its future. And I think that's important that everyone sees, so that we're just focused on, look, we want this to be a cornerstone of global and US soccer in 10 years. And how are we going to get there? And all those little steps to get us there.
I know that scheduling, for those of us that cover the event, the idea of wrapping phase one and the tournament into the MLS schedule instead of having the big gap spaces there have been in years past. That's been a help in blending everything together. What's the feedback that you've gotten from clubs, et cetera, when it comes to the new tweaks coming into the 2025 version?
Good. Very positive. So obviously there was a lot of work done actually before my tenure. I started in December, but I know as soon as the format finished last year, all the club CBOs, the front office staff in every club in Mexico and the US got together and said, right, there's something great to this tournament. How do we just make it better? And they just went through in a process and went through, okay, every aspect, what's our focus? And those matchups was it, right? So you put the matchups on and you put Liga MX versus MLS, and then you see that creates the competition on the field and everything flows off that. And then it was about finding that window. And there are much smarter people than me in MLS and Liga MX putting these schedules together. And it's a very complicated process, you know, sort of the regular season, the FIFA windows, you've got CONCACAF competitions, you've got all of this myriad. And then they're presenting everyone the best options for, you know, player travel, you know, what's the best windows for broadcast, what's the best windows for partners, what's the best window, you know, for fans. And so, yeah, there's lots to take in, but I think it's been great so far. So I won't say any more. We head into a quarterfinal with some great feedback.
No doubt. Guy like Dome Taron has been quite vocal about the scheduling from a Liga MX perspective. Yeah. I believe he called it a trap tournament, where he says it gives you very little, takes away training time, quality from what we're trying to build, argues winning the trophy wouldn't bring much prestige. What would you say to coaches and to those that might have that point of view when it comes to the Liga MX side of things?
I think, look, we work with Liga MX closely, and, you know, I know lots of comments in, you know, post-match conferences, and it's always, you know, people are immediate views, and I think we just take a step back and we talk to them all as well after the competition, and we meet with all the players and many players as we can and the coaches, and we say, look, what is it about this format that we can improve and look after? We've made considerable strides with, you know, looking after players this year flying in from Mexico and their travel arrangements and how we best prepare them for their best performance. And I think it is, you know, we are still year three, and this format, the tournament, everything else only aims to improve and address any comments that they've got when we all catch up afterwards in September.
I know that it's difficult to juggle two leagues, three countries all at the same time, and I know that there is probably a desire on some front at some point somewhere down the road where the Liga MX sides could have home matches in their own stadium, because if you go to a place like Nemesio Diaz or Akron or Azteca, those are great ambassadorial locations for the sport. How difficult is it for someone who doesn't know the logistics? How difficult is it to do something like that where all three countries are represented? And I know that for the sake of travel and making sure that everybody gets the destinations, that it's self-contained inside the US and Canada.
Yeah, once again, I think good question, because when I started, this was another question I had as well. It's like, look, at, you know, we've got a location in the USA, and what's the analysis for this at this stage in year two, heading into year three? And I'm about to go through that process as well. But it is a very thorough analysis just around starting a tournament, the logistics, the schedules. And they chose the USA, obviously, to, and both parties did, Liga MX, and with the support of all the clubs and the US as well. So, look, it's going to be a full analysis at the end of this year. And then we start to look at, we will look at it again. And it's something we're committed to do every single year as this tournament grows. So I won't say either way, but look, it's full analysis. We go back to the, just like coaches do, right? End of the tournament, you go back, you look at everything, say, how can we improve? And it'll be definitely a consideration.
Tom Mayo, the executive director of Leagues Cup, hanging out with us here as phase one is now complete. There were some bouts of crazy in phase one. I mean, I'm not going to lie. There were some matchups that were just absolutely nuts. You had Seattle putting 7 on the board in 45 minutes. You had matches that were going for 13 minutes added. You had crazy shootouts going 12 frames before they were decided. What's the feedback been like for you about phase one in general, where you've had a great run by a team like Juarez, who is, yeah, I think, ranked 32nd coming in, and they get right to the end before math and a loss takes care of it? What's the feedback been about phase one with all the different storylines?
I think there's been, we're getting stats last night in the operations center, there hasn't been a game nil-nil in this tournament, which is unheard of, right? 93% of our games that have gone through have consequence, right? And it was only in that final day that, you know, you found those teams, a couple of those teams that matched up that weren't able to, you know, alter the table. So from those fronts, we were delightfully surprised at the nil-nil aspect. You know, there is no nil. It's just everyone scoring. And then going into penalties, we've got on average, what was it, 3.5 goals per game, up from 2.5 last year and up again from MLS and Liga MX season. So it's, we're going to go away and look at it. Is it the intensity on the field that's being created by this intense tournament, which, you know, it is, there are no prisoners here, right? You've got to win straight away. As soon as you're in your first game, you've got to take as many points home as possible, and you go again. And I think there is, and I think that's shown on the field, the emotion. I was delightfully surprised as well. You know, when the penalties are taken, all the teams are, you know, arm in arm, and they're very emotional about it. And it means a lot to them, right? They are going to advance or they're not. And for some players, this is their first international tournament. And for some clubs, this is the first, potentially a first international trophy as well. And it's a different pace and it's a different level. I remember my first international tournament, right? And it's just a completely different world, different pace of the game, different, just everything changes and you just step up another level. And that's what's been great to watch, is just that competitive aspect of these are hard games to win and people are fighting for it.
Is obviously, I would imagine, one of the other things that's going to get just put on the table, the idea of more than four making it from each side. Obviously, TV partners have to be a part of the discussion as well. Because in American college football, there's the discussion of with the college football playoff where they go from four to eight to 12. And it's like Team 13 is going to sit there and go, well, what about us? Obviously, the idea of possibly expanding after phase one into a phase two on the table too?
Yeah, I think that happened in some respects last year because we went into that other round and we had 77, and this year we've gone down to 62. So it is a very tight pyramid in that regard. Whereas last year there was that room. So yeah, I think once again we'll just get to the end of this season and say right, what can we do to take that feedback from those clubs that, you know, may want to, you know, have a second chance or be, you know, remain in the tournament for longer. But it's ruthless. It's a tough competition. You've got to win everything and get out on top. Look at Seattle, they, and then look at Club America. You know, if you don't put away that first win, it's your strategy has to be as many goals as possible and as many wins thereafter.
Nothing like win and win big. You got to like win them all, and you got to win big from the absolute beginning to have this thing.
Just load it with strikers, right? You just got to put all your strikers on and go.
We're going to go 9-1-1, and we're just going to go ahead and line everybody up and rock and roll. Yeah. How many of the matches were you able to see in person to gauge atmospheres and things like that?
I saw two in person, and obviously we were running, and that was great to see. I think we were down at Red Bulls. We're watching the weather down there, and that was great to see the atmosphere. And I think from our perspective, obviously in the OSOC, the operations committee, so we're surrounded with, you know, I'm sure the listeners understand, but everything from medical to security to broadcast, and we're in there making live decisions whether the game needs to be bumped because of lightning, you know, as you find sort of in Orlando or Cincinnati, we're watching those, and then you're looking at other aspects that on the field, quality of the field, how are the players, the referees, the VAR, all of those aspects, that's all coming into one room. And it's a very intense 5-6 hours that we go from, you know, well, I'll say it's longer, it's 7 hours, from 7 in the evening to last night was 2 a.m. And then we pick it up again the next morning. So, yeah, it's I couldn't go to as many as I wanted because it's just the way the format's structured, right? You've got East Coast, West Coast, 5-6 games a night. And it's on. And I'll spend all my time in an airplane, but I'll get to see more as quarter, semis, and final go on.
So what cup of coffee are you on this morning, by the way?
My second. yeah. My second to go. And but look, I benefit from an incredibly smart bunch of people that work in Liga MX and MLS, right? There is some of the smartest brains in soccer, whether it's the scheduling, whether it's the fields, whether it's weather. And they really surround themselves with some very smart people to help us all make good decisions together and keep building this tournament. So, yeah, I think everyone's on coffee and, we're all in this together. And let's, 2.5 weeks to go and we'll find the winner.
Yep, and there's some great matchups coming up in the quarters. When it comes to officials and officiating, who is in charge? Is that a CONCACAF decision for crews and such?
Yeah, it's CONCACAF. We work with CONCACAF on it, and it's a program we have in working with CONCACAF, and it's a long program. We don't just turn up to them and say, hey, look, can you provide some referees? We really, you know, we've got a very close relationship, and we work on every aspect. Obviously, the tournament's new, and educating the format and educating the new rules of the game that came in this year as well. And we do summits and workshops, and we really are very close in this process. But ultimately, it's CONCACAF that make those decisions, nominate the referees. But they're a great partner.
I was going to ask, because does Leagues Cup as an entity have discussions about peer review, official review, those kinds of things, or that specifically just left to CONCACAF and their own devices when it comes to crews and individual?
I think we have an open conversation about the games. You know, every day we're looking at every game, whether it's what were the red cards, what were the yellow cards, what were the field conditions like, what were the pitch, everything. You can imagine that we're just going through for 2 hours every morning and just reviewing. So if there's something with referees or there's feedback, it's an open communication with CONCACAF on it. And it's something we'll review as well at the end of the tournament. And we put it all together. We don't make decisions in the heat of the moment with this stuff. We really try and take it away if we can, sit down and then just have a discussion around how it went, what we can do to improve, and we move on to next year.
Round of eight, and there's one matchup that just jumps out at you. Messi and Friends and Tigres. And nothing like being the three team out of Liga MX and having to play Inter Miami in round two. It's Seattle Puebla, Messi and Friends and Tigres, LAG, who has had a rough season in Major League Soccer. Yeah. We always talk about tournaments and what they can be. You get through the math in the West and you take on Pachuca, and the purple team taking on Toluca. You look at those final eight, what do you see?
I think it's always a surprise, right? You know, as much as everyone in the office has got their own sort of different positions, I think we've got we've got some very strong games and some good narrative going in. I think our focus is just like we're just working with all the stadiums, the venues and their travel, and making sure, you know, all the preparation in place for the players, for broadcast, for TV. And that's going on all around us this morning before we announce the exact date and time for kickoff. So yeah, it's great matchups. It's the Inter Miami Tigres. Wow, you've got those, you know, two Argentinian strikers. Who would have thought that in Messi's hometown, right? So, it's good. It's exciting to watch, but lots of work to do in the meantime.
Well, as always, you know that as long as the tournament exists, you've got a home. You know, if you want to come in and sit there and say, I got something to talk about. What we'd like to do, if it's okay, when Leagues Cup is over, is have you back to kind of talk about the tournament on the whole, what everybody learned, and now that you've got a champion with a trophy and all these kinds of things, and maybe you can bring the trophy on the show and sit there and just kind of show it to everybody. It's kind of borrow it from the champion.
I'm going to steal it off the team, though. I've got to go in and get it off the team. That might be quite difficult.
Well, just sit there and go tell you, no, we got to get it shiny. We got to take the fingerprints off of it. You get your day with it from there. I got to take it someplace. So I will roll out the red carpet when the tournament is over, for you to come back and we can talk about things. Thank you for doing this on limited sleep and your second cup of coffee. I know we've been trying to track you down for a while, but I'm glad we did. When's your first meeting today?
We started at 2 o'clock this morning.
Whoa.
Then we all got some sleep, and then we're going again in 20 minutes.
Okay.
So, look, just once again, thank you so much. Thanks for having us on. Appreciate all the listeners here. We'll come down. We'll try and bring the trophy. Let's see if we can get some players as well, maybe to talk to. So, but thanks again for the support.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too.
At Maurice's, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thank Major League Soccer enough for letting us bend the ear a little bit of the executive director of Leagues Cup, Tom Mayo, and find out what's on his mind going forward when it comes to the tournament as they head into the quarterfinals coming up in short order. Next up, and what we have done over time is we have also caught up with a lot of the voices of Major League Soccer that you may see on Apple TV Plus, and one of them that has a special place for us is Tyler Terrence. And Tyler, we mention when these voices come on the show that they can come on anytime. Literally, if they're interested and they've got the time to do it, they can come in and crash on Friday and we can talk about anything as they are in their markets or getting ready to go into their markets and call their matches coming up this weekend in Major League Soccer. So Tyler was in St. Louis and Tyler decided that he had some time on his hands. We invited him on. We always have that open invite. Tyler came on from a hotel lobby in St. Louis to talk about Leagues Cup and the upcoming weekend in Major League Soccer and his matchup, St. Louis City and Nashville SC. Here's our conversation with Tyler in a hotel lobby. PT Martinez listed as joining us this morning. So we'll hop into the morning show here and find out what's going on.
Hey, what's up, pal?
PT Martinez joining us. Where are you, by the way?
I'm at the Westin in St. Louis. I am literally staring at Busch Stadium, which is where they put us up at the hotel right across the street from these damn Cardinals who just terrorized my Mets for so many years. Yeah.
Can't take you anywhere. By the way, your time with River Plate, second time, has not worked very well.
It's unfortunate. I still got a nasty left peg, though. You can't take that away from me.
No, that is absolutely true. What cup of coffee are you on, sir? By the way, Tyler Terrence joining for those just listening on the audio side. What cup of coffee?
Just an Americano. Just keep black Americano. Keeping it simple this morning.
Okay. Is it your first one or your second?
It's my first. Okay. My fiance actually decided to join me. She drove with the dog. She drove Nala, and we got some family here in St. Louis. So took a nice little walk with the pup. We're going to go to – it's her gotcha day, actually. So we're going to take a walk to the arch, take a nice little picture with Nala at the at the arch. Yeah.
So how long a drive is it from Covington, Kentucky to the arch?
It's about 5.5. But you know I don't live down in Kentucky. You know that, John. Don't put that on me.
You fly out of there. Fly out of CBG. You have to cross the river to leave Cincinnati. You're staring at Cincinnati as you're leaving, and there's a river in between you and the two. Nala's gotcha day. How many years?
5.
Wow.
Yep.
So, all right. So go back 5 years with Nala and the gotcha day. What were you looking for at the time? What was it? Did Nala pick you 5 years ago?
So I actually wasn't part of the proceedings. I only met Shannon, my fiance, 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
So she had gotten the dog in a previous life, and she was worried that Nala was not going to be cute enough. They did not know that they were taking her home on the day of. So basically, I give Shannon crap for that every other day, thinking that Nala was not cute enough to bring home. Obviously, she was and continues to be. But yeah, no, very very glad Shannon decided to pick up Nala and keep her, for that matter.
Absolutely.
5 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. Your predecessor here in hour number two in the Hour of Chaos was Executive Director of Leagues Cup, Tom Mayo. We got to catch up with him about phase one. Sir, what did you think about phase one of Leagues Cup,
Oh, boy. A lot of mixed emotions, similar to how I'm feeling about going into the Jets season again. I think that there were some really, really great and fun moments. I had fun on the call for the three games that I did during phase one. All three games meant something, but I can't help but look at the last 2 days and how there were only a few games that mattered. Mm-hmm. And not only that, John, but like the LAFC Tigres game, that is a game why you do Leagues Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But you got wholesale rotation from Steve Cherundolo and company. And it ended up being a decent game, and the buzz because Sun was being introduced, you know, that night or the day after, whatever. And 3252 was putting on a show. But like, you can't have your pot one be pot one matchups in a Liga MX and MLS tournament not have any competitive meaning behind it. Now, I get that there's still this sort of like rivalry and dominance on the line and everything that is sort of going to be spoken to us in terms of marketing and everything like that. And I'm all for it because I still saw some bite even from the teams that were eliminated. But the whole point of this is to have competitive matches between Major League Soccer and Liga MX clubs. And there's give and take with any format that you're going to roll out in this competition, whether it be shutting down the league for a proper month. Okay, we're going to get rid of that. We're going to condense the tournament and we're only going to have three games. Okay, well, now you're going to find yourself in a position where if you lose one game, you're basically knocked out from the possibility of qualifying. And this is the take, right, is that you're going to potentially have some meaningless games. So it's not going to be perfect. I think that the concept of constantly rooting against MLS teams, if you're a fan of Atlanta and rooting against everybody else in your own league, is interesting. I like it. It was sort of an interesting supportive twist. But, yeah, definitely some kinks to work out. But I think this is more of the right idea than I think the original format is my overall takeaway.
Yeah, and I mean, you had your rounds of chaos, and there were some very unentertaining kickabouts, especially late in matches that didn't mean anything. You saw some triple-digited numbers from Liga MX side, which for me is kind of the palace intrigue of it all, when you have, hey, you're starting two or three kids that are like 189, 212, and 164, you know. But for me, I dig that. But I like the idea of the compressed schedule, where you're not having to wait. Like, if you don't make it out of group, you're just kind of sitting there and twiddling your thumbs for 3 weeks before the MLS schedule comes back.
Yes.
And in talking to Tom, I think it sounds like one of the things under advisement is the expansion of the MLS CFP to 6 or 8 as opposed to just 4 coming out to where – and you know that folks are going to come – what, do you have a band now? Is there a band around you that's charged?
There's just – well, that's why I had to wait. I texted you, and I said that I needed to wait to jump on because I needed to wait for my headphones to charge, but I guess they're still picking it up. I don't know what sort of nonsense they're playing, but it certainly is not going to be playing at my wedding in less than 3 months. So he said that they're toying with the concept of going to 6 to 8 in each league.
They're looking at it. That'll be one of the things that they talk about at the end of this tournament, is the idea of maybe going to 6 on each side or something like that as one of the other topics on their list of things to talk about after this year is over.
Yeah, that was my first suggestion on a podcast that I went on like 2 days ago, was like, it felt like we were right on the cusp of having a really interesting final day, because it seems like the cutoff was 6 points. If you got 6 points, you weren't getting in. If you got 7, then it's going to come down to the tiebreakers. I've never been someone who, and I don't know people who do it. If you do, then you're a psychopath, who like the concept that if you're being decided to get into the next phase of a tournament by goal differential, like I don't like that. But there's only so many teams and there's only so many games that, you know, that's sort of where we fall in it. But yeah, like if you expand it by one or two, or I guess it has to be two more teams at the bare minimum, I think that creates enough jeopardy on the final day and keeps everybody in the mix, because if you lose your first game, you can still win your last two and find yourself with a chance at the bare minimum, right? Or find a way to make each game count towards something. Like, you know what I was thinking back on the 23 and 24 versions, and like how everybody was upset that there were just random MLS v MLS games going on in this competition that was supposed to be MLS versus Liga MX. Those MLS, all MLS games should have counted towards the regular season, similar to how NBA Cup does it. You know what I mean? Like, so just finding a different way that if you're not going to expand it to six or eight, then how do you make those games count towards something? I don't know exactly what that is, but I don't know. That was an idea that I was stirring up while I was on a flight from Minneapolis to St. Louis yesterday.
Yeah, and I went over, I don't know if you heard me mention the Domi Tarrant quote, where he refers to it as a trap tournament. Gives you very little, takes a lot away. But I mean, yeah, you're defending your honor. I mean, I get it. I mean, it's you know, Domi saying
trap tournament. I've heard of a trap game, never a trap tournament.
It's a trap tournament. It gives you very little and takes a lot away. Takes away training time, takes away quality from what we're trying to build. He says that if you don't advance, they love to throw around the words like failure and make it seem like the world is ending. Managers have been punished, have even been punished for speaking their minds. But my opinion of the League's Cup is very clear. Winning the trophy wouldn't bring much prestige.
I mean, what's more important, prestige or qualifying for CONCACAF Champions Cup? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and this whole concept that, like, tournaments take away from training time and get away from what you're actually trying to do. Welcome to the world of tournament football, Domi Tarrant. Like you don't – like okay, does the World Cup have the highest quality football known to mankind? Are there beautiful patterns of play and clear identities from international teams? No, it's tournament football. Go out there, win your individual battles, and go win the game and try to progress. Like, who said that this was supposed to be some grand opportunity for you to be able to work on your philosophies and sharpen up your game model, Domi? Like, come on, man. Don't. That's weak. That's weak sauce from a coach who clearly got.
Well, and like I said, I know that you're defending your team's honor and all that kind of stuff. I get it. You're supposed to say those kinds of things to defend your league and defend your team and all that. I get it. It's coach speak to a certain degree. I don't know how much of it he actually does believe, but and how much of it is press conference Domi or anything like that. But if he put that out there, and I'm like, okay, sure, fine, yeah.
Yeah. Protecting his players.
Absolutely. Yeah. The other element that I wanted to ask Tom about was who's in charge of the officiating crews? And he said that is a CONCACAF thing, but League's Cup is consulted. They do have conversations back and forth. We had us some issues, man. We really did.
I didn't catch any of your games. On my list of teams to watch during League's Cup, unfortunately, Atlanta United were not towards the top. So I do apologize. Sir. Don't sir me. Okay, you earn the right to be in that list throughout the course of the season. Tell me about these problems. Was it? I don't disagree with. I think the comments came. I forget who they came from, but like. That a Mexican ref should be refereeing a Mexican versus MLS game. Like I don't agree with.
It was literally the matchup again. It was the second matchup in group stage, the Keylor Navas red card that happened. And you had a center ref who has been cutting his teeth mainly in the Costa Rican Primera, who has Gold Cup and CONCACAFian experience, treating Keylor Navas with far too much rope after he'd been given a red, and it was just completely and totally out of control. Look, here's when you have time, do this. There were 11 instances on Monday when we had our Reffing Down Here segment that literally were discussing this crew, this match, And then what happened at the Musovski foul with Seattle and Santos Laguna and end of Orlando and Atlas, which was completely and totally out of control. But the Atlanta Pumas game had probably 9 or 10 instances of soft cards, PKs that were called, and the final 90-plus where Keylor Navas gets a red, loiters on the field. I mean, literally, this was people who were spitting mad. Keylor Navas gets a red, and he's basically trying to take somebody with him. He's hanging out on the field. They're trying to put a jersey on Angulo, who's they're out of subs. Position player goes in. Angulo is having to take his time and figure out how to put on gloves and a keeper jersey. I mean, it is loitering of the highest-ish housing degree. And then Navas isn't kicked off the field. He's basically bringing in planes with Angulo, telling him how to line up a free kick at 19 yards out, and he's not being kicked off the field or being ushered up by security. It was chaos of the highest order. Just go to the end of match day two and watch that. It was nuts. It was crazy. Okay. That Keylor, that he was getting.
But what you're saying to me is just another CONCACAF officiated game.
Yes.
Like, you know, what are we really talking about here? This is fascinating.
No,
but not surprising.
I wanted to ask Tom about the review process of selecting officials. We did get our full view of O'Shane Nation as we do in these CONCACAFian tournaments as well. But yeah. Match day two for Atlanta United. Just go to like the 89th minute and when Jamal gets wiped out by Keylor Navas and just watch the end from that moment there going forward. That's your homework.
You guys played the kids in your win, huh? You guys had an interesting starting 11.
And for those of us that have seen the kids and seen the twos and cover the twos, and by the way, Atlanta United 2 and Toronto FC 2 is on the network tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7:03 kick. At soccerdownhere.net and at on our Mixler channel, soccerdownhere.mixler.com, with somebody at the end of an index finger calling that match. It was Will Riley, Kamen Togashi with the twos. You got to see Nick Sessick come in, who's was brought in by Chris Henderson from Messi and Friends 2. And that connection was there.
I like Nick Sessick. I called a game of his while he was playing for Indiana on the Big Ten Network. The same year that I called Patrick Ajiman against Andrew Privet while URI was playing Penn State. And now I'm seeing Sam Sarver killing it for FC Dallas. Indiana, man, they just pump out professional soccer players who are making the bare minimum. But somehow contributing and finding their way on the roster.
Jaden Hibbert started in net, and they got the full Jaden Hibbert experience. You got Nick Sessick starting. You had Will Riley starting. Luke Brennan. You had Nick Sessick come in. You had Togashi come in. Salma Zafaro came in. Leo Afonso got a cup of coffee. Cooper Sanchez, who got a homegrown deal in the week, got a cup of coffee.
How was Leo Afonso?
It was early returns. But obviously, when Chris Henderson sees something in an unused asset down in Fort Lauderdale, and you basically get him, Inter Miami had to spend money and an international slot to eventually have to get rid of Leo Afonso basically for a song and a cup of coffee to Chris Henderson. 15 minutes, had a couple of touches. I think he was just trying to get integrated into what's going on. Fouled once, one for two on his duels. So,
I liked him. I think he could be a nice piece.
And so with the help needed on the left hand side, you have a guy like Leo Afonso being brought in. But yeah, it was a lot of the kids, and it was a fun one to see. So you, sir, are in St. Louis, and you have a matchup where all caps have not had the best season, because we always feel like we have to reference them as St. Louis City SC because that's in all caps. You have to reference it as such. Nashville coming to town at a +108, no real surprise. All caps are a +223 and your draws a +269. What's homework been like for you on this one?
Homework is that St. Louis are a bad soccer team, unfortunately. And I really like Nashville, like to the point where I'm starting to believe they're a legitimate.
You like Nashville?
Oh no, it's borderline love. I'm about to say something stupid to Nashville, probably on like the sixth or seventh date. I adore their style of play, which is a hybrid. I love coaches who are not overly rigid and who are willing to sort of say, we can play direct, but we can also carve you up and we're just going to simply play to our strengths. And BJ Callahan, you know, looking back on it now, I think BJ would have been a really good option instead of Greg's second stint to just sort of give him the reins. Now, we didn't know this, right? Because he didn't really have any head coaching experience other than that one opportunity he got for the U.S. men's national team. And what was it, Gold Cup or Leagues Cup or whichever one. And watching them now, I'm like, this dude knows how to get a group to buy in. And Sam Surge and Hani Mukhtar are probably the best 1-2 punch in MLS at the moment. That includes Lionel Messi and Suarez, just because of the lack of production we've gotten from Suarez outside of the penalty spot.
And wearing straw hats,
which, yeah, that didn't, it's just not for him. That's, some people just need to sort of take a look in the mirror and be like, there are certain things I can and can't pull off. St. Louis, you know, the thing for me that continues to just eat me away is like the Lutz Pfannenstiel fingerprints all over the fall from grace that was 2023. Every single decision that he has made has been the wrong one. And it was such a reactive and borderline, like, I don't want to say immature for lack of, like, I don't want to insult the guy, but it just felt so, just felt like somebody was playing a game of like Football Manager and was just strewing around to see what would happen if, you know, because the results weren't going your way after a really good season. And it's really unfortunate because that city has, just the way that you guys did, embraced that team from the moment that Don Garber said go. And he has made every single wrong move, whether it was, you know, disrespecting Tim Parker and the money that he offered him after coming off an MLS All-Star season, whether it was, you know, sort of blaming Bradley Carnell for the slew of injuries and for Edu Leuven going through, you know, dealing with his wife having stage 4 brain cancer and not being a part of the 2024 season for the most part and only having 10 appearances this year. Like, and now I look at the roster and I just like, I kind of shrug my shoulders and I'm like, they haven't gotten any better. They've significantly gotten worse. And Nashville, coming off of that 1-0 loss against San Diego, which I'm sure is still looming large. By the way, Andy Nahar, top 5 MLS player of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. Wasted years of his life in DC. Now I get it. He's an Alexandria. He's a DMV kid and that's his club. But like, when we take a look at what DC has, or more importantly, has not accomplished over the past 6 years, he could have been winning MLS Cups or winning trophies with another club. He is phenomenal. Love the guy.
So basically what you're saying is that the Pfannenstiel Weltschmerz is very, very heavy there in St. Louis. The St. Louis.
I don't know what that means.
The St. Louis world pain, Weltschmerz.
The world pain, Weltschmerz. I still don't know what you're talking about.
The angst in St. Louis.
There's more than a, yeah, yes, it is, he is angst.
It is
he
world is the, pain. It is Weltschmerz. It is gone.
World pain. I thought you were saying world paint, and I was like, is there an artist I'm missing here? Because art just doesn't do it for me. Yeah, no.
World pain, Weltschmerz. So it is Pfannenstiel Weltschmerz is what they're experiencing. The Lutz.
More than that. Yeah, I think just, yeah, it's.
It's Pfannenstiel. I was going to say it's angst in, let's see, so Pfannenstiel.
Ancient Steelers.
That's the term. Yes.
Yes.
So, yes.
Ancient Steelers.
So Rodrigo De Paul has made it to Messi and friends with a couple of weeks left in the window. And and Thomas Mueller to Vancouver and some guy named Yeon Min Son to LAFC. There's some heavyweights being tossed around here, sir.
There are. Rodrigo De Paul by far is the most attractive and most like holy crap signing, I think, out of the three for sure. The Sonny one, I don't know how you feel about it, John, but it listen, the $26 million that they spent, they're going to recoup that in jersey sales within 3 weeks. Like if they haven't already recouped half, I'd be shocked.
However
isn't this just a little curious given the Olivier Giroud experiment that they just went through for the past year?
Yeah.
Isn't it just a little perplexing? And I get it that as an owner of a Los Angeles sports franchise, you have an obligation to attract names to your stadium that otherwise wouldn't come. And the way to do that is to attract people to your club that have big names. And obviously the Korean population in Los Angeles, you know, you can't not mention it. But I just wonder if they'd done it again in getting so obsessed with a name that you're forgetting that this group operates. Now, Steve Cherundolo will make this work for 6 months.
And then it'll be Ange Postecoglou's problem. Oh, absolutely.
You think so? No. You don't actually believe that. You think that after winning a Europa League title that he's going to come
There are black helicopters here in the office.
Oh, Jonathan. I would love to know the odds on Ange Postecoglou to be the next LAFC coach, because I will not be putting any shekels down on it. But do you feel the same way that, like,
They're trying to do a make good for the mess up. And so they decide to go and get Sonny for 26. I just wonder how you're going to integrate, how it's going to work.
He's going to be the nine. You're not moving Bowanga at this point in time.
Are there going to be enough soccer balls to go around?
Well, the good news is that Sonny doesn't have an ego, and like he's not a problem child, and I think that he'll fit into the system however he needs to. My question is just the legs. I mean, you just paid $26 million for a guy who quite literally was told over the past few weeks under Thomas Frank, you're not part of the plans. We'll move you if you want to move. Just tell us where you want to go, and we're going to try to get top dollar. And I think that for Spurs fans, of which I know many, this business that they just got done is incredible. $26 million for a player that literally was not going to play this year is phenomenal. Mazel tov to Daniel Levy, and that's
And Daniel Levy's like, oh, they'll appreciate me when I'm gone. I would disagree, sir. Circle gets the square.
Yeah, I don't know, John. I look at it and I'm just like, this is LAFC trying to, like you said, make good on the mess up, but. Yeah, and Olivier Giroud and Sonny at this point in time, very different stages of their careers, and I think that Sonny still has things to give. Whether or not he fits into the LAFC model, which I'm constantly told is based on dynamism, explosivity, legs, and I'm like, you just picked up a 33-year-old, man. Like, what are we talking about? And then you're going to take this opportunity away from Nathan Ordaz, who's played brilliantly this year?
Yep.
I don't know.
Do you wish to cut the promo for your matchup, sir, since you're at the end of your cup of coffee?
It's getting a little lukewarm. St. Louis City, Nashville, downtown St. Louis. I think that with a 10-day break and both of these teams not having played in Leagues Cup, I think there's going to be a real energy about Energizer Park, if I do say so myself. And if you're an Atlanta United fan and you want a game to watch this weekend that's not your own and have it on the second screen, I do think that this is going to be interesting, because if you're St. Louis at this point in time, throw caution to the wind, you're 12 points off of a playoff spot, you've got nothing to lose, and Nashville are like a very, very, very fun team to watch. And I'm telling you, Eastern Conference Final, bare minimum. Bare minimum.
Okay.
I'm willing to ride. I said Galaxy were going to win LA MLS Cup. Last year at this juncture of the season, I'm willing to at least go to say that Nashville are they're knocking on the door or something similar.
Right. It is on the record, and it will probably be circled out to all of the social medias that we have. thank you for crashing, PT. We appreciate your left foot now and always. And thank you for answering the bat signal just to introduce yourself into the hour of chaos as you normally do.
Hey. I love having the keys to the garage, and I appreciate you keeping it open for me and make sure those beers are
cold. Yes, sir. Anytime. See you soon, my friend. All right. That's Pitty Martinez joining us live from St. Louis. Who knew? Pitty Martinez would be joining us live from St. Louis the way that he did. Tyler Terrence basically just parachuting in, and that's kind of what we do. It's like literally it's like, hey, you want to come in? Yeah, you want to come in? Then come on in. And so literally that's where we are. But yeah, but Tyler was in St. Louis in the lobby of the hotel. I was hoping that his laptop or whatever device he was on was not overheating So that way, you know, I didn't want, you know, because I could tell when I promoted that Tyler had parachuted in, that I could tell that was when his signal kind of got interrupted. Because if there was that one point where you were watching and you felt his signal kind of burp a little bit, that was when I'd mentioned Tyler on social media and it went out on his phone, and that was when his phone kind of went off a little bit.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Always great to catch up with our friends at Major League Soccer and at Apple TV, and anytime that they come on and crash and we get to catch up with them as they make their circuits around the United States here in MLS's season, it's always fun to catch up with them. And then finally, what we're going to do is we're going to let you know that on Fridays, 9:30 a.m. traditionally is what we refer to as our Friday free kick, and what we like to do there is catch up with either Michael Parkhurst or Greg Garza as they continue to grow Beyond Goals Mentoring. They're close to adding a third member to the staff, a third mentor for all of the mentees that they keep an eye on, a bunch of different levels and age groups and skill sets and desires about trying to figure out what's next for their collective matches and their collective skill sets. And so it's the return after a while of Michael Parkhurst to find out what happened and his assessments of everything going on with Beyond Goals Mentoring from last season, coming into this season, what they've learned, what they're looking to expand upon, and how they're looking for Beyond Goals Mentoring to continue kicking you know what come 25 and 26. Here's our conversation with Cap Michael Parkhurst.
So I will ask the owner mogul about owner mogul questions, and we'll bring him in. Michael Parkhurst hanging out with us. It has been entirely too long, my friend. Great to see you.
It has been. My apologies, John. It's been a busy summer.
But busy summer is a good thing, though.
It's been a great thing. It sure has.
Well,
we just got back from a week in California, so it was
a week in California. Were there beaches? Was there golf?
No golf, but lots of beaches. Yes, but great family vacation. We did San Diego and L.A. and Joshua Tree.
Santiago.
It was amazing.
San Diego, yes. We know of San Diego. What I was discussing before you came in kind of the opening kickoff setup, I was discussing the Thiago Almada situation. And this is where I wanted to kind of ask the owner mogul about things when it comes to economics and contracts and all of the shenanigans that are there. And I wanted to ask specifically when it comes to like dealing with contracts and players and all these kinds of things, have you had to deal with so much legal stuff in your life and having to deal with player contracts and legalities and making sure that things get paid and everybody knows the numbers on the bank accounts and everything? What is it like dealing with financials and players and trying to honor agreements? What's that like for a mogul in training and a club that is working its way off the ground?
Well, I think you're asking me from my current
the current job in relation to, you know, you with your current gig, just what it's like to have to deal with all these different machinations and everything. Because I know that folks will sit there. We were specifically discussing the Thiago thing and where their Atlanta United's owed $30 million. And it's being slowed down in the courts. And the guy doesn't want to pay. And it's like, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for Thiago Almada today and all these kinds of things. And I was just trying to kind of pick your brain a little bit about what it's like to be in those rooms and negotiating contracts and honoring deals and being a solid businessman, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and I think that we take the stance that soccer is a small world, and so relationships are super important. And so, you know, we know that not every negotiation is going to be perfect, and there's always some feelings involved. But can we just be truthful and open and honest about situations? And when an agreement is made, that's the agreement, and there's no backtracking. We've got two players who we told we'd get green cards, and that's a long process. They might not even still be with us when we finalize these green cards, but it's important for me that we follow through with said commitment, because that's what we said we would. And so that's important. And we haven't obviously dealt with a lot of transfers yet. We're just maybe getting involved with things like that. And so those conversations are always a little bit more tricky, I would assume, you know, as far as when the player's already gone and trying to get sell on fees and all that stuff. Yeah. But again, I just feel like you do the right thing, and it comes back to you one way or the other, good or bad.
Yeah. And there's always, you mentioned the whole thing about it being a small world, and it's just one of those where your word is your bond. And I mean, there's the handshake and your reputation and those kinds of things. And I would imagine that in your time dealing with the new avocation, that you might come across some dudes that you might sit there and the spidey senses go up and you're like, no, I don't know if we want to deal with that guy. You know, it's like rude awakenings at points from a business perspective, where you sit there and you go, okay, that's a guy that I really don't want us to mess with, because that could take us down a bad path. And especially with finances being what they are these days, you don't want to sit there and look at a dude and go, yeah, I'll do that, and then get jeopardized for going down that road.
For sure. And where it becomes more complicated, though, is so especially for South American and African players, they could have three agents, you know, or three people that think they are players' agent. And I just remember hearing things when we signed Barco about how things went down and just the degree of difficulty and just the situation and the people that expected to get paid. And there's just so much. And so I doubt that's unique to Barco, right? And that's where I think it becomes more complicated, is who's getting what out of these deals. Because, you know, for some of these guys, they're setting their life on one player or two players. And so this is life-changing money for them, and they don't want to miss it. And they will do anything and everything to make sure they get what they think they deserve.
Yes. And to Alex's point, using the technical jargon of the back row, no take backs. Yeah. There's no takesy backsies. There's no take backs in these kinds of negotiations.
Yeah.
And so right now with Rhode Island FC, sir, I look at the standings. Actually, I was told to ask a question, and you may not have an answer to it, but I was supposed to ask you about the situation with Kano on the roof.
Yeah. He got a red card at halftime of a game a few weeks ago, and he was trying to figure out where he was going to watch the second half of the game, and decided that he wanted the best view in the house. So he went on the roof, and then, you know, he was up there with another assistant coach, and then a photograph came of him, and just, it got a little bit of notoriety.
Well, when you're on the roof in your new building, is it an easy thing to access? Can you get safely up and down? Can you watch? Is it like NASCAR and spotters where you're kind of like 19 floors up?
I would not be watching the game from up there personally. I understand it's a good view, but my fear of heights would not allow me to go stand on the roof. But I know that, you know, he didn't have a preset location to go, and he wanted to be by himself and not bothered with anyone, so he made the most of it, and it kind of blew up a little bit, which was in a good way.
Yes, understandably so. You're in the playoffs right now. You're in the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. Your takeaways right now at being 5-9-5 and working the chaos of the East, where it is Louisville, Charleston, and then a lot of you other folks.
Yeah, it sure is. We haven't been thrilled, honestly. It's been a disappointing season so far. If I'm being honest, we had high expectations to really push to get into the top four, and we just haven't been good enough. And we've had some injuries and that have hurt us, and we're relatively healthy right now, which is good. So hopefully we can make a run here. We did just sign another player, a Jamaican player who was with them for the Gold Cup, who I think he'll help us out in the attack, which is where we're struggling. We're struggling to score goals this year. And so we need to move things in the right direction there. And it's been a struggle, though. So we've got a month left in the window. We will be active and try and right this ship because, yeah, it's to your point, there's not a lot of space in between 3 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
So anything can happen, which is a good thing when we're having a season that we're not proud of yet. So we know we can turn it around and make a run.
Yeah. And so we had to get those questions out because of the well-rounded three-dimensionalness of Michael Parkhurst. We had to get those questions in this morning. With all of the stuff you mentioned, going to Joshua Tree in California and spending time with family, when it comes to mentoring, how important is it, I guess, to A, recharge, and B, reassess where you were during the previous season and school year and everything, so you're ready for the 25-26 Beyond Goals mentoring rush that you and Greg and the still to be publicly announced and or named individual that you're adding to the stacks are being added to the stacks?
Yes, it is important. And it's been a constant battle for me this summer a little bit, where it's kind of hit me that, hey, I've got 4 summers left with my kids before they're out of the house. And I'm so balancing, hey, getting some work done, but also if they want to go do something, I want to be available and hang out, and they still want to hang out with me, which is cool. So to be able to do that. And so I haven't been as productive this summer as I envisioned myself, but I've also really enjoyed the summer, which is important. And it's the same thing for athletes, right? We know that, hey, you need to get ready for next season, but you know, being in a good space mentally is just as important. And, you know, taking advantage of some time off is super important. So yeah, it's been nice. And that said, I mean, even when I'm on vacation, I'm answering a couple texts, and I, you know, a kid got two college ID camps this week, so I talked to him on Monday. So it's little things, but you know, I definitely have slowed things down a little bit over the past few weeks and trying to step back a little bit, which is important sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do your mentees still circle back here when it's the summer and the calendar? Do they have that kind of constant contact? Are they checking in, those kinds of things? Even if they don't have anything going on, are they still just checking in randomly to sit there and say, hey, I had a question about X, Y, or Z?
Yeah, and it depends on the age. It's some of the older players who are doing college things in the summer becomes a little bit more important. You know, I think the younger kids are kind of checked out a little bit, which is good. We tell them to check out and make sure they do check out a little bit, which is great. So yeah, it's more the older crowd in the summer of preparing for college and ID camps and, you know, maybe some showcases and big tournaments. When we were down in San Diego, the Surf Cup was going on. So yeah, there's throughout the summer, there's always these big tournaments and showcases and things. So just helping kids get prepared for those things.
What did you learn about yourself as a mentor last season? I guess we'll phrase it that way. What did you learn about yourself as a mentor last year that you might not have known, or that got reinforced about what you thought you knew about yourself?
You know, I think that even though I've got a confidence about my knowledge and what we're doing, I still think there's sometimes this doubt that creeps in of, hey, you know, am I really making a difference? Is it getting through? Is this what we envisioned it could be or what we thought it could be? And so every now and then we get really, really good feedback that says that just validates kind of what we're doing and division and how we're helping players. And I think that's always nice, and that's always important to get, because there's sometimes where we have sessions and we don't know. You know, we think the session went great with a team or an individual, or even four sessions with an individual, but maybe they're just on the quiet side, or there's just not a ton of feedback. And that doesn't mean it hasn't gone well and it hasn't been successful. So it is nice sometimes to get that validation to know, okay, hey, we're on the right mark here. And I think that some of the conversations we've had with partnerships and different events and things in the future, I think has shown us that, hey, we're on the right path. We just need to continue to grind in it and grow slowly. But that what we set out to do, we are doing.
How do you and Greg and Beyond Goals as an entity gauge success? How do you grade that, considering all of the individuals that you touch, all of the individuals that you consult, all the individuals that you mentor, all of the organizations that you're in bits and pieces with? How do you and Greg and everybody there at BGM gauge success? And you can take that word and put it wherever you want, but mm-hmm. How do you gauge success for what you've been doing over the last couple of years?
Definitely, I think there's two different aspects to success. One is obviously financial, and then two is the motivational success. So are we growing the company year over year? That's important. You know, I think the next big piece of growth is our sales inbound instead of us finding an outbound, which is slowly occurring, which will be nicer when that fully transitions. BGTV is not the success yet that we want it to be, but I think it's going to grow. But then, to my point earlier, it's just the feedback from athletes, from families of, hey, this is making a difference, or hey, you really helped my child, or hey, this really helped me prepare for this upcoming season, for this tournament, for this tryout, for this ID camp. The more we hear that, that's success for sure. And then anytime a player or a family lets other people know about us and we get more signups from that, that we know is success, right? If we're getting word of mouth sales, we know that we're making a difference. We're doing good things.
So then how difficult is it for you and Greg, as you're growing, to be patient, considering mm-hmm. we know where ground zero was?
Yeah, for sure.
We know where you are now. We know how competitive the two of you were on the field. Mm-hmm. And obviously that carries over into business life and wanting to carry on in the next stages. How difficult is it to be patient? Because you mentioned BGTV as an example. Mm-hmm. It's about investment up front, whether it's elbow grease or what have you, knowing what you want it to be. So how difficult is it to be patient knowing how you were on the field as an athlete?
Yeah, it's challenging because it's not necessarily, hey, the more work you put into it, the more success you have right away. And I guess that's true on the field as well sometimes for some players. You just have to wait for your moment. I think that's where the marketing group that we work with helps out because they know that. And for one example is the blogs that we do for the website. They always said, hey, once you start this, you won't see results for about 18 months, right? But the SEO and all the algorithms and stuff will eventually lead more people to the website, which will lead more to inbound sales and things that, we don't have to put the work in to go find the players or to really spread the word. The word will spread by itself. And so, we've stayed committed to the blogs and same thing with BGTV, we're staying committed to it, doing the videos every week, even though we probably have 20, 30 members right now, but the goal is to get 2,000 or 3,000. And so, yeah, but we've had some conversations recently with a club and then an organization who are interested and want to figure out some way to institute things. And so then you get the spark and you're like, okay, hey, this can be what we think it can be.
And I would imagine that the feedback is cool and you're like, but just the anxiousness of wanting to succeed and wanting to continue to help and wanting to continue to help, B, wanting to continue to grow, C, you know what you want to do, all these kinds of things. It's got to be just this difficult mix of you want to sit there and it's like, I know what we're doing. I know it's going to work. And it's just like, come on, let's get this thing going to the level that you want it to. I imagine that you're like, that there are some days where you're just kind of like, come on, man, we got to get this done. Let's move, people.
Some conversations are very frustrating. And yes, test patience with not only organizations, but people. And you're just like, gosh, let us help you or let us help your kids and you'll see it. But we know, hey, not everything is for everyone. Mm-hmm. And not everyone's going to see the bigger picture or honestly want to see the bigger picture.
Yeah. It's like that. Just, don't tell me about the birth. Show me the baby. Basically one of those kind of things. It's just mm-hmm. like, get to there. What was the last book you read?
I have a book that I brought on vacation that I read zero pages of, John.
So what's that book that you want to read?
It's John Wooden's book. I can't remember the title, but his book I wanted to read. And so
I heard he was pretty good at what he did.
As have I. So that's why I thought I needed to read it. But I haven't gotten there yet. But kids start up school next week here in Columbus, so I'll have a little bit more time to get back to reading.
One of the things that I know I need to get in the picture frame is the pyramid of success. When it comes to, and I know that they exist because look, if Ted Lasso has it in his office at AFC Richmond, I know that I can get the framework of the pyramid of success somewhere. When it comes to keeping up to date with the latest things and reading. I know that that's something else. You need to kind of clone yourself at points, I would imagine, to sit there. And it's like, I need to have this version of me do this and get back to me. I need to have this version of me do this and get back to me. How difficult is it to juggle all of the different yous to make sure that you are devoting the amount of effort that you want to devote to all of these different yous these days?
Yeah, that's a challenge for sure. Because, you know, wear the Rhode Island hat and then the mentoring hat and then obviously the dad hat. And sometimes, you know, there's overlap and decisions. And like I could do a lot more traveling to Rhode Island, to Atlanta, to events and things, but that takes away from the dad hat a lot. And the dad hat's the most important hat right now. So, you know, there's always decisions to make, and I've learned to say no, and that's important. And so, you know, I do what I can and know that, hey, that's the best I can do right now.
Tom Mayo, the executive director of Leagues Cup, joining us in about 10 minutes after we have our Friday free kick conversation. I guess catching up with Cap is probably the best way to phrase what we're doing today. Is this true, sir, what Ropes has brought to the table, that Big Red is going to be a part of BGM? Is this true?
Big Red was originally part of the conversation when we were starting BGM.
Okay.
It was the three of us that were going to start BGM. And then he decided, you know what, I'm going to focus on the field coaching and I'll leave the mentoring to you all. So he was part of it at the startup, helped us build the websites and do some things and had discussions, but then he decided, no, I'm going to focus elsewhere. So he's not joining us, no, but we will have, I believe, John, and I've said this for a few weeks, I think, but Monday or Tuesday, we're supposed to announce our newest mentor. So we're excited for that.
I bet, you know. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just this is a part of the growth that we talk about. It's holding us hostage informationally. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Wait, this is promised. Who is this individual? How difficult is it to make sure that this information doesn't get leaked?
We're not that big. Not that important, John.
Come on.
So. And I think only the five of us know, the Greg and I, the marketing folks that help us out, and obviously the lady that's going to join us.
How important is it to make sure that you have the representation, both male and female sides, considering what WOSO has been doing and building here in the States, and to make sure that there's an equal representation, I guess, is probably the best way to phrase it.
Yeah, the women's game has grown tremendously. And I've got a big respect for NWSL now that I watch a lot more games. I watch a lot more highlights for the BGTV. And so first it was like, hey, we need to include as many or almost as many highlights of the women's game as we do men, right? Why not? And but that led us into, hey, we know that younger soccer, female soccer players want probably – to be mentored by fellow female. So that's important. And we always thought, hey, if we grow or when we grow, we want to add a female. And so we're at that point now, which is great. And so we're excited to bring her on and see what that can do for the growth of BGM.
Well, and is there a universality of messaging and mentoring, or are there things that when you bring in someone who is from the women's soccer side that are different than mentoring from the side that you and Greg are coming from? Is it other than another voice in the room, are there other things that we're missing out on not knowing the women's soccer side and the perspective coming in?
I'd assume so. I mean, I don't want to be dumb to think that, say, hey, you know, soccer player is a soccer player. Whatever I know can help you if you're male or female, you know. I'm sure there's things I don't know for certain, but I think that the growth will tell us if all of a sudden our numbers increase significantly on the women's side we know, okay, yeah, they definitely would rather be mentored by a female than Greg or I, which is totally fine, right? Can we still help them? For sure. But maybe they feel more comfortable. So, you know, whatever it is, we want to explore that.
Bet you didn't think you were going to get into a big philosophical discussion this morning about BGM and all the growth and everything leading into the new season, did you?
Very open-minded coming on to your program, John, because we never know, you know. There's different trails we go down sometimes.
True, but it's one of those things where it's fascinating to see to see BGM grow, to see the two of you branch out in this way, to see what you're tackling as you're learning and growing from a business perspective and bringing the athletic perspective and reaching out to those new generations. To me, it's just been the whole growth curve has been fascinating, and building a business and all those kinds of things. And what folks may not know is that, like I said, it's the whole thing about the dog in the pond, you know, that analogy that I bring sometimes where, you know, does Deacon like to chase sticks in the water?
She's not around the water enough, honestly, for us to really know. She's gotten in before, but not a ton.
Okay. Well, on those instances where we see the stereotypic dog and the stereotypic owner on the side of the lake, owner throws a stick in, dog goes and gets the stick. What do we see above the waterline? We see basically stick in the mouth of the dog just kind of huffing and puffing and getting back to shore. What we don't see is the dog doing all this underneath the waterline to make sure that everything's fine to get back to shore. And so it was just, it's an opportunity sometimes, I guess, at the beginning of a new season to find out about everything going on below the waterline that folks don't get the chance to know about, to learn about what it's like for folks that they've seen as an athlete go into this new part of their lives. And so that was, I guess, part and parcel to when that door got open this morning. I was like, oh, let's go there and see what's going on. That was why I brought it up.
I love it.
But, okay, before you go, Atlanta United gets out of League's Cup. They scored a lot of goals up against Atlas. Obviously, it's been a long slog. Slog continues to be long. What have you seen?
Yeah, it's good to get a win. Hopefully, that obviously can provide a little momentum going back into league play. It's good to see Alexi playing well. Latte Laugh, I don't know. I still think he's a good player, so I still think the attack can get it done. I don't know why it can't with Miguel, Latte, Saba, and Alexi. It just seems like, I don't know what's holding them back, but the talent is there. And so, yeah, on one hand, you think, hey,
I don't think you're alone in that assessment with the sir.
Yeah, it's just frustrating because it's like, why? And it's disappointing to be in the situation that we're in, because now it's kind of like, well, I guess we're looking forward to next year, because I don't know. The playoffs, it's still doable, right? This playoffs is still doable.
You got to run the tape.
Yeah, you can't have many losses. And just given how the season's gone so far, it's so unlikely. But crazy things have happened. So, you know, shoot, they beat Miami last year when nobody gave them a single chance. So you never know. But for me, it's more probably getting ready for next year, seeing who's going to be part of that roster and who's not, and who can you rely on, and what youngsters do you want part of the team, and giving them more time and things. So that's probably the focus, as disappointing as that is.
Yep, 2 weeks left in the transfer window. We see what happens with 5 out and 4 in. We'll see where we go from here. As always, my friend, it's great to see you on Fridays and find out the growth of Beyond Goals Mentoring, BGM TV. And we'll hit the trumpet when the announcement is made about the third member of the group. So looking forward to it, my friend. It's always great to see you. Enjoy the time that is left before school starts and it gets running all over again.
Thank you, John. Have a great weekend.
Always.
Big thanks to all of our guests that come by SDHAM every single week. This week here on the Best of SDHAM, Executive Director of the League's Cup, Tom Mayo, Tyler Terrence from Apple TV+, and Michael Parkhurst, part of Beyond Goals Mentoring, in our Friday Free Kick segment that comes by every single time out on your Fridays in season. And when we can catch Mr. Parkhurst and Mr. Garza when they are not doing their boatload of soccer for good that they do on a daily basis. We want to thank all of you for being a part of SDHAM. John Nelson here with you as always. Come by and visit us on the SDH Network Monday through Friday starting about 9:05 Eastern Time, since we are Turner Time kids, and we'll go for 2 hours and we always end up going long. For everybody here at SDH, for Jason, for Nick, for Jarrett, for Maddie, for Sophia, and for me, I'm just John. Thanks for dropping by. And that's the Best of SDHAM for another week. Mucha Plata, I'll play it safe. We'll catch up with you next week.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.